I know everybody's excited. The fall is here. Beautiful weather. The leaves are changing. And some of you still have apple seeds between your teeth because you've been picking apples every day. But we're so thankful. I tell you, after living around the world, and like on Guam, it was 85 all year, and then down in Mississippi, it was warm all year. I didn't realize how much I appreciate the change of the seasons until I was out of here. And I remember being, we came off of Guam, and we stopped in the state of Washington, and it was a little cooler, and then we flew down to, then we had to stop in California, and then we were coming to New Hampshire to do an exercise over there. And I remember, and it was about this time, well, it was a little bit later, about the end of October. And man, I'm telling you, we got off the plane and the leaves were changing, and we've been on Guam for a year straight or over in the Pacific, because over there it's all just hot and sticky, every one of them islands. But we hit New Hampshire, and I was like, ah. We got off, and just the crisp air, everything about it was just gorgeous. And what a creator we have, you know, that designed it all just for us. What an amazing father. And please don't ever take it for granted. Every time that we would drive back across the river with the boys and with my daughter, I'd always look at the mountains when we were coming down towards the bridge and say, you know, I never get tired of seeing the mountains when I'm heading back to the west. And the silhouette of them, the purple mountains' majesty, it's just breathtaking what God has done. This morning, if you didn't get one on the way in, I want to encourage you. We're starting the baby bottle drive for the Alight Pregnancy Center. So grab a baby bottle and fill it up with your change, or fill it up with your husband's change, or take your milk money from your children from school, whatever you got to do, all right? And fill up the baby bottles, all right? And let's be a blessing to the Alight Pregnancy Center, because they're doing a great work. And all the monies are given to them. October 22nd and 23rd, we got a father-son camp out up at Good Tidings Bible Conference Center there. And all the meals and activities is $10 a person, or $25 for a family. All right? So there's a sign-up sheet, and you can call Kim about that or see Pastor Tom about that. And don't forget, today is Life Group Challenge Day. So we're all meeting at the Burfines, right? At 2 o'clock, is it? 2 o'clock at the Burfines. And the life groups are supposed to come up with a challenge. And in order to bring some competition to the life groups and a lot of food. So it is potluck, so bring your own. All right? Bring some food. Don't come empty-handed. Don't bring an apple. Wonderful. Well, we are so glad that Austin is back with us today. Amen. We're so glad he's out of the hospital. Man, he's just a good God. You know, sometimes we've got to walk through it. We don't always get out of it. You know how you let your kids get out of it sometimes? Because you didn't feel like dealing with them, right? It was just later, they were being children. And you're like, just go to bed. I don't feel like dealing with it. And then other times you have to walk through it and you have to deal with it. Amen? And if you deal with it, it always turns out better. Because if you don't deal with it, it usually prolongs what you're going to have to deal with. And so this morning we're so thankful for God bringing him through and making a way, healing his body. And we look forward to God healing your body, anyone that needs it. See, because we're going to have to stand and just agree. When we start to pray and when we start to believe and we stand upon it, we can't move from that, no matter what we see, how we feel, or what it looks like. We have to stand on what his word says continually. And everyone around us, you remind them of what God has done. No different than my salvation when I got saved and they said, yeah, right, whatever. I had to remind myself every morning, and then I had to remind them every time we got together, because they would always want to bring me back to what we used to do, and I would have to say, no, I don't do that anymore. And they said, yeah, but you used to be fun. yeah. I said, oh, I still am. I'm just not doing that for fun anymore because it wasn't fun and it was very expensive. You want to do some other fun things? I'm all in. But I'm done doing stupid things that are called fun. You know, and there's a lot of desires that maybe you were trained in or maybe you thought about that the world said was fun. And some of it, and I can't tell you how strongly the Lord just dropped it on my heart this morning about checking our desires. It's a day of desire for the body of Christ. And if we don't desire him more, excuse me, I don't know what's going on with my throat this morning. But in the name of Jesus, we'll get through it. I don't know where your desires are. And every one of you, every one of us, will have to stand before him one day. Amen? Now, you can lie to me about your desires, because you can come in here and say, oh, Pastor, I just love the Lord. All I think about is the Lord. And then we take a look at your time. We took a look at your conversation. We take a look at the checkbook. We take a look at what you're doing. And then we find out what your desires really are. Amen? Amen? And that's not my job. My job is just to remind you, you need to think about your desires and see if they line up with the Word of God, each and every one of us. Why? Because there's a whole world out there that's running crazy after their desires. And they're unfulfilled. And they're looking for those that are looking for him instead of their own personal desires. Can we say amen? You know, in this morning, as we look at the Word of God, sort of picking up somewhat where we left off last week, being single-minded. Tell your neighbor, say, you need to be single-minded. Right. Because a double-minded man, what happens to him? Unstable in one way, two ways, three ways, all of his ways. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Who wants to follow somebody that's unstable? Hey, look it. You were unstable once. Gets quiet. I know some people are thinking, I still am. No, not here. Not here, all right? You were unstable once. You didn't know. You weren't sure. And you didn't have anybody that followed you. But when we come to Christ and we start to get single-minded, we start to think about the things of God above everything else, people want to know what changed you. And can I tell you, the world can tell what the church's desires are. The world can see through us like there's no tomorrow. They know what desire is. They know what earthly desires are, earthly passions are, earthly wants are. They know what they are very clear. And when they look at us, they can see what our desires are. When they listen to us, they can hear what our desires are. You know, if something goes wrong, do we go back down to that old desire where we just start losing our minds? Right? I mean, isn't that a desire? I have to be heard. I got to tell you what's going on deep inside of me. And the next thing you know, yelling and screaming and cursing and swear. No. Not that, please. Let's not go back there. But how many feel justified because that desire to express, we lose control of emotions and we justify why we do it. It's a desire, a passion, because the flesh is screaming. But a single-minded man is going to go back and reflect on what God's word says. That he's with me all the way through it. That every trial or tribulation that we're walking through, God is showing us how much stronger our faith is today than it was yesterday. Amen? That's all it is to show us how mighty we are because of the Christ that lives on the inside through the power of the Holy Ghost. So this morning, as we look at single-mindedness, it's really about making sure that as we crucify that old man, laying him down, we don't pick him up again. And so if you have your Bibles, turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 1 through 5. We're going to read that and then turn over to Acts chapter 10 and verse 42. And then we'll go from there. But 2 Timothy 4, it says, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God. This is a charge. Paul's being pretty emphatic about this. He's not leaving this open for speculation. He's not looking for anyone to argue with him or differ with him. He's saying, hey, look, we're going to have to do this, and I'm going to charge you in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who is to judge the living and the dead. That's all of us, I guess. Amen? Either you're living or you're dead, one of the two. There's no in-between. All right? And by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Tell your neighbor, say, that's for you. That's for you. Right. Be ready in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. I think we're there. But wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. But you, tell your neighbor, say, but you. Tell your other neighbor, especially you. Be sober in all things. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Acts 10:42. It says, and he ordered us to preach to the people and solemnly to testify that this is the one who has been appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. Let's pray. Father, we come and we thank you for your word. It's powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. Your word always divides the flesh and the spirit. And Lord, I pray that in our minds this morning, we would not allow the flesh to dominate our thoughts. Lord, we would not draw back and say, I can't do that. We would not sit there and say, I don't care what he says, I'm not going there. Father, I pray that each one of us would say, no, Lord, you said those that walk in the spirit are the sons of God. And Lord, we want to walk in the spirit today. We want to walk according to the leading of your Holy Ghost. We don't want any area of our lives untouched by the Spirit of God. Whatever it is, Father, if there's a desire, Lord, if there's a situation that maybe we didn't deal with properly, maybe one that's been hanging over our head, maybe it's been hanging over a family for generations. Lord, today, I pray that we would take it all and surrender it. The desires, our plans, the very purpose of our lives. Lord, that we would, if we have a problem, we go to the brother according to your word. We would just surrender to the leading of your word today. I thank you, Father, that as your word washes, as your word renews, as your word strengthens, that each one of us, your sons and daughters, when we walk out, we're prepared in a greater way to do the will of the one that created us, changed us, healed us, delivered us, filled us to overflowing, and then released us to do your will. Thank you for the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We heard what would be coming, right? We already heard they will be lovers of themselves. They'll be lovers of themselves. So we know what was coming in the end times. They will be lovers of themselves. How do we find someone who's a lover of themselves? Well, it's easy. It's easy. Their whole time in the mirror. You know what? There's a lot of truth to that. Because every day is a day of denying our flesh. Amen? But how do we know? We just look at what people are doing. We look at what they give themselves to. We look at how they talk. It's real simple to see when people are just lovers of themselves, because when they look at the word of God and they cast it off and they say, I want nothing to do with that. And then they try to justify the foolishness of their ways. You know, he said, I solemnly charge you. That goes for each and every one of us in this room. It goes for each of our children that are upstairs or downstairs. And he said, preach the word. And then he said, but you, be sober in all things. Endure hardship. Do the work of the evangelist and fulfill your ministry. So everyone here has a ministry that you are to fulfill. I'm not going to fulfill your ministry. And we're going to come alongside of you, prayerfully make you stronger all the time so you can go and fulfill your ministry. If you don't have a desire to fulfill your ministry, what we're saying is, I don't have a desire to do what I've been created for. Yeah. Isn't it aggravating when you get something and it doesn't work? You order it, it comes in the mail, and you get it, and it doesn't work. How frustrated do you get because you needed it that day that it arrived? You paid extra to get it there on time. And then it didn't work. And your whole day is shot. And then that flesh says, it's fine. No, it don't. Now, that flesh has all kinds of thoughts and ideas, but it isn't, that's fine. What do you do? How do you respond? And can I tell you? When we do what we've been created for, you will be more fulfilled than trying to do anything else on the planet. Nothing on this planet fulfilled my life like walking in the things of God. Nothing. Doing what I've done since, I don't know, 96 probably. It took a few years to get, oh, wait a minute. Yeah, probably 93. Probably took a few years to get it in there. You know, it took a while because we're looking at man. When you first get saved, sometimes you look at man a little bit more than you should. And if our pastor wasn't preaching on a Thursday night and during the teaching, then we would go golfing because we didn't want to hear somebody else. We were carnal Christians. Or we go four-wheeling in the wintertime or bowling. We would do anything. But then about 3 years in, all of a sudden, everything started to change. And there's been nothing that has captivated my mind, my will, my emotions, my desires than the things of God. After that, I wanted to find men of God to hang out with. I wanted to be around them. I wanted to listen to the word of God. I wanted to be in conferences where men were building things bigger than I have ever imagined because I wanted to be around that thought process. And this is what God's desire is. When our desire is God, then we're going to desire the things of God. Amen? And so, once again, like we were sharing, your desires. Because he ordered us, in verse 42, to preach to the people. That's what he's ordered us to do. This is what he has charged us to do, Paul is saying. There's a purpose for your life. It's greater than what every one of us are living. It's more. You know, in the midst of one of the most tumultuous times in American history, or the world actually right now, we're standing at the precipice of something extraordinary. I don't know how you're looking at this time right now. I don't know how you're looking. I don't know if you're looking at it like, I got to draw back. I got to get back where it's safe. I want what was yesterday. I want what was 10 years ago. It's not going to happen. Because I believe that right now God's getting ready to do something extraordinary. Amen. You see, whenever that darkness comes and deep darkness covers the earth, God is looking for one lamp that will stand up and say, I'll do your will, Lord, at any cost. And I believe that God is preparing something extraordinary right now in the lives of the church. On this planet. And Tag, you're part of it. Amen. You're part of the greatest move, one of the greatest moves the world's ever going to see. So many are looking at what's going wrong. How about we just look at the one that's doing it right? Instead of proclaiming everything that's bad and everything of what everybody else is doing except God, how about we start focusing on what God's called us to do? He said, be sober in everything. If you're struggling with being sober, you need to get rid of it. You need to deal with it because it destroys your testimony. If it's consuming, controlling you, anything, we're not just talking about alcohol. We're talking about being sober in anything. If, I don't know, if things consume or control you, if people's opinion consume and control you, you need to get sober and realize you're going to stand before one God, and his name is Jesus Christ, and he's going to be the judge. Amen? Amen? No other person on this planet is going to judge you. And when they do, they enter into sin. It's not our job. We judge all things according to righteousness, right? And we encourage each other not to step out into foolish things of this world. Look, you see a brother that's struggling. The Bible says, go and restore him. You see a sister, it says, go and restore him. It didn't say, go and tell everybody else what everybody else is doing wrong so you feel better about yourself. That's right. You know what the world does? Look at the newspaper. All they do is condemn everybody that's out there, doesn't agree with them. The media has taken over, and now they have dictated whether truth is going to be allowed to be spoken on the airways. They have said only our truth will be spoken. Yeah. Only people that agree with us will be allowed to use our platform. I want you to know, it has nothing to do with COVID. It has everything to do with stopping the word of God and the church of the Lord Jesus Christ from going forward.
Amen.
That's what this is about. This is about light and dark.
That's right.
Truth and the lie. Yeah. This is about the Lord Jesus Christ trying to be snuffed out of America. This is what the devil's plan is. He doesn't care if we come and gather, but you better not preach in that name, because he knows that name's above every other name. I wonder what's going through his mind when he's unleashing everything. In the last 16 months, right, we've seen the pandemic. Here we have something that's been created by man in all of his wisdom, because he's an idiot without Christ, right? They create the problem, and then they want to create something to fix the problem, and neither one of them work right. And then they want to tell you this is what you're going to have to do. This is what man does when man tries to become God and decide how many people are allowed to live on the planet. Listen, you can read all about it. It's out there. This is not something they used to call a conspiracy theory. It's a conspiracy, but it's not a theory any longer. It's not a theory. This is laid out there very simple for everyone who has an eye to see. The devil has thrown a pandemic. The government has gone completely crazy. We got politicians now that don't have the brains God promised an animal cracker that are trying to make laws. They have proven it. They have proven it every time they open their mouths. They sit there and say, this is my body. I'll kill any baby that's in it. But you got to take the mandated vaccine. You got to get stuck with that. How goofy can you get? There's other words I want to use, but I can't. And then they stir up. And then the devil stirs up all kinds of racial unrest. He wants to throw that in there. And then some people in the church get sucked into it. Heaven forbid the church gets sucked into foolishness. I am a slave. And I boast on that all the days that I live. I am a slave of righteousness unto my God. It's no longer I that live, but it's Christ. That's who we are according to the word of God. And yet so much, and the enemy is trying to use the social unrest, the racial tensions, the pandemic. He's throwing everything. I want to know, why is he so petrified? He sees what's coming. He knows what's coming and what God is about to do. The problem is the church doesn't see what God is doing. The church is staring at everything else except the word of God. How many times, how long have we been proclaiming God's going to do a new thing? He's doing something right now. The prophetic words of yesterday are coming to pass. We know what's coming. They're going to be lovers of themselves. They're going to hate the truth. We know it's coming. If you walk in the truth, you're going to be hated. Tell your neighbor, say, they're going to hate you. Tell your other neighbor, I'm struggling with you anyway. I didn't say you hated them. I just said you're struggling with them. They're going to hate you. Are you ready? Look at this was already spoken, what we're walking in. And some Christians are running around, you know, like their hair is on fire. Ah! What do we do? What do we do? Shut up. Unless you're going to speak the word of God. Get in your prayer closet. Don't come out until you're dead. I mean, how simple is that? Spiritually speaking. You don't come out until you're done thinking along your thoughts. You come out when you start to think his thoughts. You come out when you start to say what he said. You come out when you have a fresh word from the Holy Ghost. Because I'm telling you what, the Holy Ghost is speaking every day. The church ain't listening. The church listen, not this church. We're talking, okay? You guys listen for the most part. But they're out there. So much of the church isn't listening. They're listening to the government. That'll put you in debt. They're listening to politicians. They change their stinking mind like they change clothes. They jump from one issue to the next. Whatever they feel like they can win at the moment, they're going to jump into. This is where the church, we're going to have to be the church that just stands. And we don't move from what God has told us. How do you know Jesus Christ is real? Because he changed my life for all of eternity. The word of God speaks to me, and it speaks the same thing that he spoke 2,000 years ago, and it hasn't changed. And I'm not moving from it. Man's word changes all the time. The enemy is not attacking America or you because of your past. He's attacking you because of your future. Amen. He's petrified of what you're going to do. He's coming against you. He wants you down and out. He wants you to collapse. He wants you to give up under the weight of what you don't know is coming. So the weight of fear. It's fear that your God is not able to bring you through. I want you to know he's more than able. Amen? He's more than able. So when everybody else is running out, that's the church's chance to run on in. And say, hang on a second. Let me tell you the truth. Sit down. Don't talk. And we're just going to read the word of God. Because when the word of God is read, power beyond compare starts to become unleashed on any person or any area where men and women of God will stand up and stand on it. All it takes is the word of God to be proclaimed. And the power of God starts to manifest itself in the people around you. But the church is afraid to proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord outside the four walls. Why is that? We'll talk about everything else. Haven't we talked about that enough? Right? There's no sense talking about the Jets anyway. They're 0-3 again. Ain't no sense talking about them. There ain't no... There's always one. There's always one Giants fan in the house. We've talked about everything else under the sun around. How much do we talk about work? The natural work on this earth. How little do we talk about the people that we work with and what God is doing in them? How about the ones that we get to meet and greet on the street when we're working or when we're walking? How much do we talk about how God gave you a word for a different one? I want you to know, he said, preach the word. He said, I want to charge you. There's only one hope for this whole world, and that is that the church preaches the word of God. That's it. There is no hope outside of Jesus Christ. And there's no way they're going to hear about Jesus Christ unless you preach. It's not going to happen. He's petrified of your future. It's not about your failures. It's about his victories. Many have become overwhelmed in this season. Tell your neighbor, say, not me. And again, what is the enemy seeing that's coming? Where he's trying to pull out all the stops. He's seeing some in the church that are starting to believe that they're mighty to the pulling down of all the strongholds. That the enemy has nothing in them. They don't care about the things of this world. He's starting to see the church is getting their feet under them. They've been hanging out in the 80s and 90s. A lot of the blab it and grab it and hang back. And then they're preaching a milquetoast gospel where they're so afraid to come against homosexuality. And now the transgender. Who allows an 8-year-old to determine their gender? That's child abuse. It's foolish. It's idiotic. And it's wrong on every single account. Even in the natural realm, it's wrong. The supernatural realm, it's obvious. God doesn't make any mistakes. And a parent that lets an 8-year-old determine that, they don't have a whole lot of wisdom, I'm sorry. And they need the Holy Ghost. They need the blood of Jesus Christ to renew their minds. And when the church is afraid to touch the racial issues, any issue, don't touch homosexuality, people will leave your church and ain't mine. Don't touch the transgender. Oh boy, they're going to label you. They already did. Be careful about the racial issues. Brother, that's a lose-lose situation, not with Jesus Christ. It's a win-win situation. Every one of them, if we'll stand and speak what the Word of God says. Because he said, go and preach the word that you could be set free. All your past hurts and pains. Anybody ever had any past hurts and pains besides me? Yeah. Right. Anybody ever been mistreated? Yeah. Anybody ever been condemned? Sure. Anybody ever lose their breath because you felt so alone and by yourself you didn't think you were going to make it? Right. But then Jesus Christ came and everything changed. Every situation that we come in contact with, God wants to change it. Amen. And he will if we put him first. Acts 2:16, it says, but this is that which was spoken. Everything that we're experiencing right now, this is that which was spoken. Nobody knew how they were going to do it. I remember in the late 80s, early 90s, we watched the Left Behind series. Right? They made a movie. We watched another one, Thief in the Night or some other one. And we watched those movies and man was speculating on how they were going to get the whole world to bow at once. Right? That was the whole thesis of it all. How were they going to get everybody to bow at once? Nobody can figure it out. Ta-da! Yep. Here we go. Yeah. What do you think this is? That's what this is, trying to get everybody to bow at once. This isn't an America thing. This is a worldwide thing. It's a problem. They suppress information and they lie. That's what they do. Trying to figure out how it's going to happen. This is that which was spoken. Amen. This is that. The church should be running and saying, yeah, we knew it was coming. Right. Not a problem. My God will take us through. I don't know how he's going to do it, but I trust him. Amen. I'm not sure how this all works out, but there's one thing I know, that as for me and my house, we're going to serve God. Because everything else is sinking sand. Everything else is sinking sand. Heaven forbid you put it, I think I said it last week, I can't remember whether I said it in the school or said it here, that when you lay up your treasures on the earth, you're walking away from them all the time, your whole life. You're always walking away from them. You lay them up, you walk out to go to work, you walk away from all your treasures. As you get older, you're walking away from them all. But if you lay up your treasures in heaven, you're always walking towards them. Every single day that you walk, you're walking towards those treasures. And the Bible says that's where they need to be. You see, that's one of the things that distracts the church is the treasures here on earth. Because we want to figure out how to maintain the desires of the flesh. We want to figure out how to maintain what makes me happy. I think we sang about that today, didn't we? Does he make you happy? Does walking with him bring you great joy? As Jeff said earlier on. Is he the joy of our salvation? Or is there something else that we possess that brings me more joy than serving my God? Brings me more joy, so much joy, that I can watch the men and women around me die and go to a Christless eternity and not even care. Do we have treasures here that have gripped us to a point, or we're working towards them to a point where we would walk blindly past those that are lost? Only you can decide that for yourselves. Romans 10:17, it says, so faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. The only thing that's going to change you, your life, your family, your community is going to be you preaching faith. They're going to have to grab it by faith. You accepted Jesus Christ by faith. That's right, one day. When faith grows, confidence grows. Right? Yeah, you see people that are walking around with no confidence? I can guarantee you they're not reading the Word of God. I guarantee you they're not in prayer. I guarantee you they're not spending time in worship, because the more you spend in prayer, the more you spend in the Word, the more you spend in worship, the more confidence you have in your God. When you back off from the things of God, when you back off from the word of God, it's so easy to hear people lose their, when they lose their confidence, all they talk about are the cares of this world. Our confidence is in Christ and Christ alone. You know, I'm confident that God is able, even in this time and in this season. Therefore, we can walk through with great faith. We don't have to walk through when people come up, how are we going to, it's terrible. Oh my goodness. What are we going to do? Come here, just follow me. Follow me here. Here's a pack of hamburger that'll get you through the week. Come on, follow me as I follow Christ. Yeah, but you don't understand. You don't have enough. You're right. But he does. He's got more than enough for me. And he's going to give me so much that I'm going to have more than enough for you. And then one of your friends is going to see the outpouring of the love of God on your life. And then we're going to give to them and watch their life be changed. Why? Because we care about the lost. We're already taken care of. Preach the word. Preach the word. I charge you. Consume the word. Pray the word. Preach the word in season and out. When it's acceptable and when it isn't. It's easy to preach in here. Piece of cake to preach in here. But out there, sometimes it's out of season. And sometimes it becomes open season. Right? But you see, as long as the word goes forward, then power is going to leave you and be infused into someone else. Their response to you can't consume you or change you. Right? Their response isn't the issue. It doesn't matter what they have to say. If you have an opportunity in love to share the word of God, that's the issue. Because then it starts to change them. And when we don't respond according to the flesh, but we respond according to the spirit, and they say, hey, get out of my face. I want nothing to do with that stuff. And you just look at them and say, for now. Because one day, they're going to remember. One day, that word, because that seed that goes down inside of them, one word from him, and it starts to germinate. That word inside of them. And the Spirit of God keeps working on that word, bringing it forth time and time again into their remembrance. Remember how he did it with you? Somebody told you about the Lord Jesus Christ and you said, oh, not now. I am living life. And then all of a sudden you took a nosedive and said, I guess I'm not living the way that I should. And it didn't produce what I wanted. Maybe there's something more. And that word that was deposited with someone praying for you and encouraging you and strengthening you, all of a sudden started to germinate and everything started to change. I'm confident that the blood is enough for every single person in this house and outside the four walls. I'm confident that he works all things together for. Are you confident about that? Because if we're confident about that, it changes the way that we speak. If you're confident about that, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. The word of God says he's the one that works all things together for good. For those that what? That love God and are called. So he's talking about us, that each one of us are called according to his purpose, right? So this is about his purpose. When we start to apply his purpose in our lives, all of a sudden, everything starts flooding into our lives. Right? We've said it 1,000 times. If he can get it through you, he can get it to you. We can't sit there with closed fists and say, I need and I want and this is mine. Everything we have is his. Amen? Luke 17:5, the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. And that's what the church needs. See, faith starts to say, God, if the enemy is attacking like this, what are you doing? Faith starts to say, wait a minute, I need to listen to the Holy Spirit. I need to get more in the word because my mind needs to be renewed because I'm fixated on that which is perishing, not that which is eternal. And then as we start to remind ourselves of that which is eternal, all of a sudden that which is temporal isn't scary anymore. That's right. Right? What about death? Are you afraid of death? Anybody afraid of dying in here? If you are, come on up and get saved. Because the Bible says that God, Jesus can't conquer death, hell, and the grave, right? Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is the victory? It doesn't have one anymore. Because even though you die, yet shall you live. And then do you believe it? That's the question. It's always the question. But that's the issue, because so now, death, hey, hot dog, if I die today, see y'all later. It's really that simple. Right? It's really that simple. Those that beat me to heaven, I want to experience what they're experiencing. The fullness of it all. I'm not rushing to get there. I got a lot of work to do before I go there. And I realize that, but I'm not afraid of it. That last breath is going to say, love you. Accept Christ and live forever with him. That's it. And then I close my eyes and I'm with the Lord. So fear leaves. Have you had enough so far? Have you had enough to sustain your life so far? Yeah. I'll look at the TV in the back. Some have had plenty to sustain them. And it became a problem in the body of Christ. Because we have men and women who are not able to preach the word of God and to do what God's called them to do because of desire. It's not always about finances. It's not always about the lust of something outside. Sometimes it's just the lust of what we're depositing inside of us. And we got to look at all of it. Amen. We've got to pay attention to all of it, because we cannot eliminate ourselves because of our desire or the lack of discipline in our lives. 2 Timothy 4. Once again, he said, preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season. Rebuke and exhort. With great patience and instruction. Somebody prayed this morning, Lord, give me patience. That is one scary prayer. Because you'll have opportunity. Oh, yes, you'll have plenty of opportunities. And be ye sober in all things. John 14:27, it says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. He's given you a peace. You've got perfect peace right now because of the blood of Jesus Christ. You're not allowed to give your peace to anything else on this planet. No one else. See, when you preach the word, it drives out the darkness. When you pray the word, it drives out the darkness. When you worship in the midst of calamity, it drives out the darkness. That's what it does. It realigns us. It brings us back to that place and says, oh, wait a minute. My God is able. I forgot. I forgot for a moment who created me. I forgot for a moment where I put my faith and my trust. I forgot for a moment the one that washed all of my sins and removed my guilt and shame. I forgot for a moment, but I'm realigning my life. And church, it's time to realign and stop looking at the darkness and being overwhelmed or even thinking about it. But to be thinking, Lord, what are you doing now? What are you getting ready to do through me? Because he wants to do it through each and every one. Amen? Amen. Tell your neighbor, say, ask him, say, what is he going to do through you? Tell your other neighbor, say, I see what he's doing through you. You see, he's already doing things through people. He's already doing them. There's already things that are changing people's lives. There's some around you that are building a kingdom of God. John 16:33, it says, these things I've spoken to you that you may have peace. In the world, you're going to have what? Oh, this is that. You already knew it was coming. Did you prepare for it? Get out of debt. We've been screaming it for 5 years. Right? Get out of debt. Whoever you're in debt to, you're a slave to. Yeah, but pastor, you don't understand. I like this stuff. I don't mind debt. Debt's not a big deal to me. I didn't ask you if it was a big deal to you. I asked if it was a big deal to God. Get out of debt. You want to have a little bit more peace? Get out of debt. You're going to have tribulation. And then I love this. But then what? Take courage. Tell your neighbor, say, take courage. Take courage. Tell your other neighbor, say, come on, get courageous. I have overcome. Everything that you'll ever walk through, I have already overcome. Anything that comes near you, you're victorious, and I'm going to walk you through it. No matter what the enemy brings, I'm greater. So God's saying, will you believe that he's greater today? That's the issue with the church. Do you believe he's greater, or do you believe some silly pandemic is greater? The lies of men. Is that greater than the truth from another world? It's the perseverance through trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger of sword. Romans 8:35. And then Romans 8:37, it says, we're more than conquerors through him who loves us. This is the day the church has been preparing for. We've been preaching like this for a long time. We've been telling you the trials and tribulations are going to come. We've been saying, get out of debt. We've been saying, stay in prayer. We've been saying, get in the word of God. We've been saying, this is what's best for you and your family. Why? Because we knew it was coming. This is that the scripture talks about. This is that. Now it's time to stand up on the word of God. Amen? It's time to stand in faith and say, as for me and my house, we're going to stand. As for me and my house, we're going to make a way. We're going to watch. We're going to watch God make a way into someone else's life that we can encourage them. We're not looking for just enough for our family. Heaven forbid we have that small a vision for our lives. Started out with three families. We gave out 56,000 meals last year. God's a multiplier, amen? He's a multiplier. My time's up, Chris? Sean, leave your finger off that button. I saw it. It's a time for the church to stand up. Amen. To get back in faith, stand on the word of God, and say, as for me and my house, we're going to trust him. All the way until I close my eyes for the last time. And I'm going to take what I have, and I'm going to give it. Because my God's a giver of those that give. Amen. He's a giver to those that give. That's what he does. Stand up this morning. I want you to know one thing's for sure. One thing's for sure. Don't follow the masses, because the masses never get it right. Don't follow the masses. They never get it right. They never have, and they never will. Do your own research. Because the government's lying to you. The news agencies are lying to you. You got doctors and scientists that are bought and paid for, and they're lying to you. If you've got natural immunity, you're about 2 billion times better than anything that the government can come up with. Since when has the government ever done something better than what God has done? When have they ever created anything that was better than what God did? I remember that old story where the one guy said, yeah, he met with God. And he said, we can create human beings. He said, you're not that big and bad. God said, all right, go ahead. And he grabbed some dirt and he started forming it. And God said, get your own dirt. Man doesn't do it like God does it. Your body was meant to stand and fight, to build and to grow, to strengthen, to lead, to encourage, to love, to bless, to give. That's what you were created to do. And I want you to know this morning, y'all are good at it. Y'all are good at it, because I've watched you go to Africa and India and Guatemala time after time, take your money and your vacation and your pay and sow it into somebody else's life that you'll never get anything back. I've watched you give it to Haiti and around the world, and you just kept on giving and giving. Why? Because of the Christ that lives on the inside of you. Amen. That stirs us up to faith and good works. This week, it's a week of good works. Amen. It's a week of good works. Find something to sow. Sow those words of life. Let them talk about the words of death. And when they get done, say, have you had enough? Let's talk about life. Let me tell you about a friend of mine. Jeremiah, he was a friend of mine. He prophesied some stuff that was coming true. Amen. He's a friend of mine. And I want you to know, we're the friends of God. And God loves his kids. And he takes good care of them. He's taken good care of you so far. Because you guys look amazing. You look good. Man, you look good. And the power that's manifested in this building right now is mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. Nothing can stand against the power of God. And when sons and daughters stand in the power of God, then everything changes. My marriage changed because of the power of God. My children have been changed because of the power of God. My grandchildren are changing by the power of God. My family has changed by the power of God. Oh, it didn't happen every minute when I wanted it to, but my family's still changing even today. Even today. And I'm hearing it. We've been praying for years for breakthrough for some of them. And guess what? I get the phone calls now and I'm hearing it. I'm hearing the seeds of faith start to be spoken into the phone, and I'm saying, huh? God, you're a good God. I'm hearing that 25, 35 years, it doesn't matter, but I'm hearing the sounds of breakthrough. I'm hearing the sounds of surrender. I'm hearing the sounds of deliverance. I want you to know, stand on the word of God and don't move, because your whole family is going to come to Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. Help us to be those that are sober in all things. Let us elevate nothing high in our lives other than the word of God. And then walking in the spirit of God, prayer. Father, when friends come over, when people come over, even our enemy comes, help us to be a blessing to them and always share the word of life. Lord, we've been prepared for this time. Trials and tribulations, you have already filled us and strengthened us. And Lord, now give us eyes to see what you are doing. What you're pouring out, we want to be a part of. Father, we want to know what's coming. Help us to take time and draw aside day after day and just sit with you to see all that you have prepared for us. And then, Lord, let us step out and do what you have called us to do. Let us not be those that are hearers only, but doers of the word. Today, Father, we leave here as your doers, those that have faith and are ready to pour out their faith upon others through the word of God. Lord, we know that faith cometh. Faith's coming. To those that we're about to speak to, the divine appointments this week, let faith arise. And every time it is, the enemy is scattered. Thank you, Father, for renewing us, strengthening us, each and every one. Strengthen each one, Father, today. Help us to put on that helmet of salvation in the name of Jesus. Lord, we're going to gird ourselves up with all of the armor, and we're walking out knowing that the victory is ours. The enemy has been vanquished, and all of his plans will come to naught for our lives. For greater is he that is in us than he that's in this world. We have won in the name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, I have won. And amen and amen.